Okay, so the title of the sermon again is Spiritual Warfare. Can we say that together? Spiritual. Please open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. God will be ministering to you today. We'll be blessing you with his word. And I want you to be attentive to receive everything that God has for you. Ephesians chapter 6, I want someone to help me read verse 10 to verse 18. Ephesians 6, verse 10 to verse 18.
I read, "Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and his powerful strength. Put on God's armor so that you can make a stand against the tricks of the devil. We aren't fighting against human enemies, but against rulers, authorities, forces of cosmic darkness, and spiritual powers of evil in the heavens. Therefore, pick up the full armor of God so that you can stand your ground on the evil day, and after you have done everything possible, to still stand. So stand with the belt of truth around your waist, justice as your breastplate, and put shoes on your feet so that you are ready to spread the good news of peace. Above all, carry the shield of faith so that you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. Offer prayers and petitions in the Spirit all the time. Stay alert by hanging in there and praying for all believers." May the Lord bless the reading of his words.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Thank you. So we continue our study. Last week we talked about the helmet. Okay? So let's just a quick recap. What is the helmet? What is the helmet of the spiritual helmet of a believer? Yeah? That keeps your head even when life is throwing everything at you. You know, when you're facing pressure or temptation, uncertainty or disappointment or impossibility. What keeps your head going so that you don't lose it? Yeah? We did that last week. Yes? Hope. The helmet is the hope of salvation. Amen? It is salvation, but salvation in the form of hope. The hope of salvation. Amen? As a Christian, as someone who is born again, you are already saved. That's your spirit. You are being saved. That's the renewal of your mind. And you will be saved. One day, God will give you a new body. Amen? It will not be subject to emotional highs and lows. Anybody gone through emotional highs and lows? We all go through it. Amen? But when you have your new body, amen? When Jesus returns, for those who are believing in him, he will give you a new body. No weakness, ever again. Amen? No temptation, ever again. No darkness, ever again. Hallelujah? So if you are a believer, you have hope. The type of hope that the world can never have. Hallelujah? And you know, even in this world, there are some things that God has guaranteed for you. I'm just doing a recap. Some things God has guaranteed for you. Number one, he said he will never leave you. Now what? So you don't need to ever pray and say, "God, be with me." I know you can do it if you're still feeling like a spiritual baby. It's okay. But you don't really need it. What you need to do is say, "Thank you, Lord, because you are with me." Both are prayers. One is kindergarten, one is mature. Amen? He has said, "I will never leave you." Now what? If you have said it, you don't need to second guess it. If you second guess it, you don't believe it. Hallelujah. So when you are going through the valley of the shadow of death, what did David say? Did he say, "We will pray and say, God, please"? He said, "I will fear no evil." Why? Because you are with me. Hello? You are with me. He said it. It's guaranteed. If God being with you is not something you need to pray for, because that one is guaranteed. Amen? Now, the only time that God will not be with you as a Christian is if you walk far away from him. But still, remember that. Can you even walk away from God? Can you go away? Can you go anywhere in this world that God's presence will not be there? No! Hallelujah! He said, "With you." Amen? Now, if a Christian has sinned and they don't feel that God is with them, all they need to do is repent. Amen? They don't even need to go and pay one big sacrifice. Just say, Lord, I'm sorry. I missed it. Forgive me. Then what happens? He's with you. Hallelujah. He said, I will fear no evil. Because what? You are with me. So you know, the psalmist taught us how to respond. So when you're going to that valley, say, I will not be afraid. You have to open your mouth and say, I refuse to fear. The Lord is with me. The Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah. I said, in this battle, spiritual warfare, you cannot afford to keep quiet. Hallelujah. You are facing a bad situation. But say, I refuse to fear. I will not be afraid. Because the Lord is with me. Hallelujah. That's the hope of salvation. Another piece of hope. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. It said, there is no temptation. But I want to generalize it because that word is when I say temptation, you're just thinking, okay, temptation to sin. No. Temptation means anything that tries to pull you from your firm footing. Yeah? There's no situation. This is in the more general way that has faced you that is different from something someone else has experienced before. Amen? And that's comforting to know that whatever your situation is now, yeah? Somebody somewhere has faced it before. Hello? So that's why Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. You know, you may go to the shop and buy a new shoe. New style. Amen? Until you find that 100 years ago, they were using that style. You know, that it faded away and it resurrected. Amen? There's no temptation that has taken us beyond what is common to man. That thing that looks like is the worst thing happening to you right now. Yeah? Somebody has experienced it before. But let me give you another good news. Somebody has overcome it before. Amen? It's not just somebody experienced it. Somebody what? Overcame it. Hallelujah. I mean, we had the story of John Wesley and the mom. Now, I'm not sure I'm quoting this right. You can check it up. But I think she had, I don't know whether it's 7 sons or 9 sons. And she raised them all by herself. But John Wesley came up, and Charles Wesley wrote, when you count the number of hymns Charles Wesley wrote, it's greater than, you know, any other person we know. Well, at least on this end of England. Yeah, that was brother of John Wesley. John Wesley started the Baptist, you know, Baptist or Methodist movement. You know, he preached around England. But he came from a very, very humble background. But that woman, despite her situation, she invested in those children. What she could not do, they did it. Where she could not go, they went. And the reward, they can't get it alone. She'll get a good share. Hallelujah. Amen. No situation, no temptation that has faced you except what is common to man. Let's open there. Let's open there. I think the Holy Spirit wants to show you something. Let's open there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm still talking about the helmet of hope. The hope of salvation. How it works. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Am I quoting the right place? Yes, I am. So someone read for me. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Someone has not read today. Or maybe one of our youth. Yes, I like that. That's the spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Please listen.
No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man.
Except what is common to man. But this is not the important part. Now listen. We're going there now. Now continue.
But God is faithful.
Stop. But what? God is faithful. You don't ever forget that. That's hope. This one doesn't have nothing to do with your faith. Whether you believe it or not, God is faithful. Amen? Whether you trust that or not, God is what? Faithful. It's his nature. Amen? God will not stop being faithful because you are unfaithful. He remains what? Faithful. Now, if you are unfaithful, you may miss out on what God has for you. But let me explain the way it works. When you are unfaithful, you miss out. But the moment you repent, you meet God still in his faithfulness. He will still show you how to fix it. Are you listening to me? I went off my way, doing my own thing, and ended up in a mess. Yeah? But God is there. When you return to God, we say, oh, you naughty, naughty. Go. Don't have time for you. On the 2 years' time. No. The moment you come back, and you're reconciled, it will show you, okay, we missed it this way, but this is the alternative route. God is what?
Faithful.
Say, God?
God
is faithful. That's why you need God in your life. Hallelujah. That's why you need God. Somebody who cannot change. He's reliable. Amen? He's reliable. And also, he has given us his word. It means that if I can understand this word and have a revelation of it, I have everything I need to overcome in life. Because this word reveals who God is. That's what I was saying. They say, you cannot say, oh, we can. This is his word. We just need to go in there, stay there long enough until we get a rema, a revelation. Yeah? God is what?
Faithful.
Let me just stop there. I don't want to continue. So that's the hope of salvation. And then we also talked about the breastplate. What is the breastplate of the spiritual breastplate of a believer? We did that last week. The spiritual breastplate of a believer. Yes. What is it? Who is gonna give me that? Yes.
Righteousness.
Yeah, that's good. I'm happy you took that mic. Now, what is righteousness? As you understand it.
Right standing with God.
Yeah, what does that do for you?
It gives you
the value of a right standing.
Confidence to approach the throne of grace.
It gives you boldness and confidence. You know one thing I like about Christianity or the faith? Yeah? The Bible says there's no Jew or Greek. There's no bond or free. Hallelujah. There's no male or female. Hallelujah. God is not a respecter of persons. Whether you are rich, super rich, or according to Theresa May, just about managing. Nothing has no meaning with the way God will treat you. Amen? Hallelujah. I don't want to call it equality. I want to call it righteousness. Amen? When you believe and you accept Jesus, you are as equally a child of God as any other person in church. But more importantly, let me teach you that. You are equally a child of God as Jesus. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says he's the firstborn among many brethren. Amen? He's just the firstborn, but we are his brethren. Hallelujah. That means that what Jesus can do, you can do. That's why he said, go into the world, preach the gospel, and this sign shall follow those who believe in my name. Hallelujah. He has empowered you with himself. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, of course, you may not see that in your life because you don't believe it. You believe it in your head. You don't believe in your heart. Let me show you. You know how you can move your belief from your head to your heart? Stay in the word. Meditate. Confess it. Meditate. Confess it. The revelation will come. Hallelujah. But I guarantee you, if you're not going to meditate on God's word, if you're not going to confess it, no revelation. Are you with me? Many people say they have faith. But I tell you, faith can be alive or dead. But I would say that faith without corresponding actions is what? I say, faith, yes. Well, you're not meditating on God. I say, I can. If you're telling me that you're believing God for something, I can prove it to you whether you're believing or not. When last did you meditate on the scripture about that thing? When last did you confess the scripture about that thing? When last did you speak to that mountain? If you're not, then you're not in faith. You're not in faith. You're not. I'm sorry. Faith without corresponding actions is what? Is dead. Hallelujah. So righteousness empowers you to go into the world and live like Jesus. Without righteousness, a right standing with God, which you receive by faith anyway, is not, you don't receive it by, the only thing you did was accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Then God makes you right. He declares you right. He said, now you are my child. Hallelujah. It's not because any other thing you did, you believed. Yeah? You submitted your life to Jesus. Say, now you are my child. That empowers you. Because every time you go into the world, you are, who are you? A child of God. You have access to heaven. Even when you sin, you have access to go back and receive forgiveness. And not wait for 2 days. Amen? Righteousness is your body armor. It protects all your vital organs. And so you now find out that actually the two parts of the armor that actually protect all your vital organs. Because one protects your brain and the other one protects all your vital organs. Yeah? There are things you receive, yeah, by faith. Yeah? The hope of salvation, you received it because you believed in Jesus. And now, you have hope. Amen? Righteousness, you receive because you believed in Jesus. Yeah? And now you are made right. Hallelujah? Praise the Lord. So that was just a recap. So now we will move forward. So someone read for me, Ephesians 6 verse. So go back to Ephesians 6. And so today we're going to look at more weapons. Ephesians 6 verse. Verse 10. Just read verse 10. I want to unpack it a little. Verse 10. Yes, Brother Gideon. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his mighty.
Continue.
11.
11, yes.
Put on the whole armor of God.
Put on the whole armor of God.
Yeah.
Who is to put it on?
We.
God or you? Okay, now, who has the power? God or you? In the power of his mind. Always remember, it's not your power. Amen? But you, by righteousness, you have access to the power. It's the God's power. So that means that when I'm not feeling powerful, I still have access to the power. Amen? When I'm not feeling good or cool, I can still lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. Someone annoyed me. I know, I'll go back to you. I know sometimes some people close to me don't understand me. In the sense that someone has annoyed me, I'm irritated, but I will see 2 minutes I'm going back to pray and commune with God and worship God. So don't look and say it's an hypocrisy. It's not hypocrisy. I've learned to understand that what I feel in my body does not have to disturb who I am in my spirit. Are you with me? So I can't pray. What do you mean you can't pray? It's not your power, it's the power of God. Hallelujah. You need to separate between spirit and soul. Hallelujah. Yes, you know, some days feels like a bad day. You know, everything just didn't seem to work. It happens to all of us. It's common to man. But that doesn't mean you cannot pray. That doesn't mean you cannot rebuke the devil. Hallelujah. Because it's not your power. It's his power. Amen? We have to be strong in his power. Hallelujah. And you have access to that power through righteousness. Righteousness is a gift. Somebody say righteousness.
Righteousness
is what?
Is a gift.
It's a gift. God gave you. Hallelujah. He said, as many as received him. What do you do? He gave them what? The power to become the sons of God. In fact, he didn't give you all power. He gave you the power to become sons of God. Because you know, once you're a child of God, you have access to the power of God. Amen? Please finish it. Verse 11.
Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
What does it mean of wiles? Another version. Wiles means what? That was English. Tricks! Another one version said the dirty tricks. So Satan got tricks. Please turn to someone, smile and then say, Satan got tricks. Please sit down. Thank you. God bless you. Amen. The armor is something you put on. That also means to me that if you refuse to put it on, you may fall victim, yeah, to the dirty tricks of the devil. You with me? That's why you cannot just say, why do bad things happen to believers? Not all believers are in the same spiritual status. I'm not talking about maturity. I'm talking about their readiness for warfare. Amen? Someone is a pastor, yes, but if he has dropped a part of his armor, he may not be ready for the dirty tricks of the devil. Amen? If you are in the military, the fact that you are a general does not mean you go to warfare without bulletproof. Hello? You're a general, four star. Then you go to us, I'm a general. By personal recognition, all the enemy should know. No, Eva, you're the big target. Hello? You better put on your bulletproof. Glory to God. We have to put on the helmet. We have to do what? Put on the helmet. But let me reassure you before we want to move into new parts of the helmet, so you understand. Let me tell you something. As a minimum, there's some part of the helmet that when you put it on, there's no reason in your life why you should take it off. The helmet should stay. And the body armor should stay. There's no need to put that one off. That's what God has done for you. Meaning that once you have the helmet on and the body armor on, even if you don't know how to use your sword, even if you don't know how to use your shield, yeah, you can't die spiritually. Because all your vital organs are what? Protected. You may lose some battles, but you can't die. But there are believers who take off their helmet. Amen? They depart from the faith. So the devil can. That one doesn't apply to most of us here. It can apply, but right now it doesn't. But there's another one that applies. There are believers who voluntarily they offer Satan their body armor. You know how they did? They confess. Say, I'm not worthy to be called a child of God. Just a poor old sinner. What did you do? You took off your body armor. So now Satan is ready to treat you like what? A sinner. Amen? Hallelujah? Your identity in Christ matters. You need to know who you are because it affects the way you can claim what God has given to you. Are you with me? Your armor, your body armor, should stay on. Your righteousness is never your righteousness. It's the righteousness of God in Christ. Well, I say you are the righteousness of God in Christ. God imputed it unto you. Hallelujah. That righteousness gives you access. Yeah, because it brings confidence into your life. Yeah, it's a gift. Open to Romans chapter 5 verse 17 and then we'll move on to the belt of truth. Romans chapter 5 verse 17. So I've done some preaching today and then I will do some teaching very soon. Romans chapter 5 verse 17. Romans chapter 5 verse 17. Someone who has not read today. Romans 5, 17. Yes. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Please listen very carefully. Romans chapter 5, verse 17.
For if by the one man's offense, death reigned through the one.
So if by one man's offense, he's talking about Adam. Mm. Through Adam, yeah, brokenness came into this world. Because Adam sinned. Continue.
Much more. Those will receive abundance of grace.
Those who receive abundance of grace. Yes?
And of the gift of
righteousness. And of the gift of what?
Righteousness.
We do what?
Will reign in life.
In heaven?
Through the one.
We don't reign in heaven?
Reign in life.
Where we don't reign?
In life.
In?
Life.
In life. Which life? This life. Which life we don't reign? Where did you receive grace? In heaven or now? Where did you receive the gift of righteousness? Heaven or now? So where are you to reign?
On earth.
Yeah, and now. You are to what? You are to reign. You are to reign in this life. You have to do what?
Reign in this
life. In this life. Please come back later. Yeah? And we will entertain you. Amen. You are to reign where?
In this life.
How do you reign? Abundance of grace and gift of
righteousness.
Hallelujah. You need to be sure that you're a child of God. You need to face life with that certainty that what? You're a child of God. And if you're not, you need to become one today. Because all you need to do is accept Jesus as your Savior and mean it genuinely. Then you have become a child of God. Hallelujah. Now, when you're a child of God, face life with that consciousness. Amen. This life without consciousness. You know what I mean about me, child of God? God is on my side. Hallelujah. I have the force of heaven backing me up. Amen. Even if I make mistake or when I make mistake, I have
a force that is backing me up. You know, if you're a parent, are you going to throw your child away because they made, you know, they poured the milk on the floor? Yes, you may correct them. Yes, you may spank them. But you're not going to throw them away. You are committed. You got your back. Hallelujah. You have heaven backing up your life. Gift of righteousness. It enables us to do what? To reign. Say, I'm destined to reign. Okay, go back to Ephesians. Let's go into some teaching now. Ephesians chapter 6. And we're looking at verse 8. So you've been following me from last week. We looked at the helmet. Yeah? And we looked at the body armor or breastplate. Now we're going to look at a very important element, yeah, which is the girdle or the belt. So someone read verse 14 for me. Ephesians 6:14. Where's that mic again? Where's the mic? Yes. Ephesians 6:14. Someone who has not read today. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 14. Yeah, go for it.
Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth.
Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with what? Truth. Now question. What is the function of a belt or a girdle? The men understand belt. The women may understand girdle. Hallelujah. You know, I didn't realize this last week, but I was meditating on it yesterday. I just realized that there's such a thing called girdle. But if you don't know, don't worry. Yeah? Yeah, the standard definition is belt. You know? But they have some, the belt and the girdle have similar jobs. What is the function? Someone said no, so let's not go there. What's the function of a belt? Why do you put on a belt? But I guess probably I'm going to ask the men because they use belts more. Then the woman that is bold can tell us the function of a girdle. But again, don't answer if you're not bold. Yes, belt or girdle. What does it do for you? I'm not asking about spiritual. I'm just saying the physical. What does the belt do for you or the girdle? In a way that, in a way you can communicate it without invading anybody's privacy. Yeah? What's the function of a belt or a girdle?
In my little understanding, the function of a belt is to hold something fast, really.
To hold it what?
Fast.
Fast! Thank you, that's a good one. Yes, let's have more answers. The function of a belt or a girdle. Now, of course, you won't know the function. Ask yourself what happens, you know, if you don't have a belt on. You know? You know, even trousers that have this elastic band, it's also a belt or girdle. Yes? Did I see a hand? Yes? What's the function of a belt or a girdle?
A belt is to hold maybe your clothing steady.
To hold it steady.
So it doesn't fall
Thank
down.
Thank you. That's good
and
enough.
And the girdle
oh,
is
yes.
to...
Oh, yes. Okay.
In terms of women, like myself, is to smoothen all the impact.
To keep this firm. Yeah? Firm! Yeah, it's not all. Yeah? It's just some of us. Yeah, what's the belt? These are excellent answers. I just say one more or two more. Okay, two more. And then we move on.
Yeah, no.
It's a belt or a girdle, what does it do for you?
It's basically to hold your trousers up.
It's
basically to hold it in one place so it doesn't
fall down.
What
happens when
falls
you put on that trouser and there's no belt, you forgot, and you went out? What will happen?
It's just loose and falls.
You are at risk of exposing what? Some nakedness.
Some bits
yeah?
and with a woman, I'd say, yeah, no, it's literally to make the outfit look nicer.
Yeah, to keep it fair.
It doesn't really hold anything.
Smooth and nice.
Hold things in rather than anything else.
God bless you, Crystal. Did you want to say one more thing? Oh, she covered it. One more answer. What's the problem with a belt or a girdle? Or an elastic band around.
The purpose of the belt is to fight. In terms of the Bible, about the armor, is to fasten the armor. So
okay.
It's to keep the armor
yes,
intact.
So as a soldier, why would you need a belt? To make
to sure fasten the armor. Because
fasten
without the belt, the
yes.
armor will.
Thank you for that. That's a good one. Okay. Amen. Glory to God. So, this is a question I want to ask you. So, this is my definition. You got it right?
a girdle or a belt holds your body, whether with clothing or no, I don't know, firm and secure. Yeah? And in terms of, the old type soldier, maybe even in modern soldiers, the belt provides a holding place for some equipment. Like in the old times, a sword we hang on the belt. Are you with me? Yeah, stay with me. Don't go too far. So you know that your spiritual girdle. Now think in terms of girdle, or your spiritual belt is what? What's the spiritual girdle or belt? We have it there. What is it? What's your spiritual girdle? What's your spiritual belt? Truth. Yeah? It says, get yourself, like Sister Claudia read, with what? With truth. You see with me? Now, think of the functions. Think of truth. Next question is this. You know the question already, don't you? What is truth? What is truth? Yes? Let's have some answers. What is truth? I'm to get my spiritual get or belt is truth. What is truth? I need to know what truth is. Yes?
The word of God is truth.
The word of God is truth. John 17:17. Yes? Yes,
say it.
What God has said about you is truth. Yes? Any other answer? What is truth?
Spoken word of God.
Yeah, Odi. Yeah. Go on.
Spoken word of God to you.
The spoken word, the word that God speaks to you personally, is truth. Yes. Any other definition of truth?
What was?
James, go for it. It's not the perfect answer, but I like it's a creative answer that agrees with the word. The Bible says you will know the truth, and the truth will do what? It will make you free. Hallelujah. Actually, it doesn't set you free, it makes you free. Jesus has set you free. Amen? He has delivered us from the power of darkness. But the truth now, as you know it, it will help you to experience the fullness of that freedom. That's why it's possible to be a Christian and be in bondage. You have been set free. But if you don't know it in that aspect of your life and have a revelation of it, you may not experience it. So the truth gives you the knowledge you need to live in the reality of that freedom that Jesus has already bought for you. And it's possible for you all your life as a Christian, yeah? You have been set free, you are going to heaven, but you may not live in freedom until you have a revelation of truth in that aspect of your life. So now, many answers, but I need to define this answer in a way that agrees with the function. Amen? So how does truth hold you firm and secure? For time's sake, I will have to answer it. Otherwise, time we go. So thank you for some answers there. So truth is the written word of God. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is what? Truth. But how does the word of God hold you firm and secure? So we need to go a bit further and explain to you that truth is not just the word of God, the Bible, yeah? Or a revelation. Yeah? There's another role for that revelation. We'll talk about it. Truth is sound doctrine based on a balanced knowledge of the word. Amen? If you don't have sound doctrine, you will be tossed to and what? With every wind. If you are not establishing sound doctrine, you just get excited. Yeah? But the devil will be manipulating you. People will come and tell you what looks nice. You say, that makes sense, but it's not truth. Amen? Should we prove it? Open your Bible to Ephesians 4. So what will keep your life, what will hold you firm and secure as a believer is sound doctrine. When you are established in sound doctrine, your Christian life will be secure. You're not going to be tossed forward and fro with everything, every lie and deception that Satan brings into the church. Are you with me? Sound doctrine is very important for your life. Amen? But you cannot have sound doctrine if you don't have a good knowledge of the word of God. Hello? Someone says, experience is the best teacher. It's not from the Bible. It's good. It's a good statement. I agree with it. But it's not scripture. It's not truth. Hello, listen to that. Experience the best teacher is a good statement. But it is not truth. It's just a statement of men. Hallelujah. Let me test you now. Who is the best teacher? Who is the best teacher?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Ghost. Amen. You know the woman with the issue of blood? If she was following her experience, she will never go and touch Jesus. She has been to all the physicians, spent all her money, and was nothing better. Amen? Experience is a good teacher, but it's not what? The best teacher. Better learn to follow the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4. We are looking at verse Ephesians 4. I want to take one more part of the armor before we finish. Ephesians 4. We're looking at verse 11. Ephesians 4, verse 11 to verse 15. Ephesians 4. No, let me do this. Let's just shorten it. Ephesians 4, 14 and 15. Yes, someone was not read today. Ephesians 4, verse 14 and 15. Ephesians 4, 14 and 15. Someone has not read. Yes. Grandma is ready. Ephesians 4, verse 14 and 15. Please follow your Bible. Listen to it.
That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive.
To deceive, yes. But
speaking
the truth in love. What will happen to us?
May grow up unto him in all things.
Amen.
Which is the head.
Amen.
Even Christ.
Amen. Amen. So I want to challenge you today. One of the greatest needs you have in your life in this current world is to grow spiritually. If you are resisting to grow spiritually, yeah, you will be tossed to and fro. Someone will come and say something, you believe it because it sounded nice. Yeah? It agrees with your head. Yeah? So if you want to break through now, you need to go on 50 days fasting and prayer and pray all night, every day. Does that not sound very nice? It sounds nice. After all, Jesus fasted for what? And what? There's nothing wrong with fasting. Fasting is good. Amen. It's just that if you are fasting and you are walking, you need to be careful. Yeah? Glory to God. It's good. What does it mean? It's truth. Amen? Hallelujah. Truth is sound, balanced doctrine. Based on a balanced knowledge of the word of God. And as you allow truth to invade your life, truth has to invade your life. Please talk to yourself. Say to yourself, say, truth. Say, I have to allow truth to invade my life. When truth wants to operate, it invades. You understand? That's why in this world today, there's no truth. Because nobody wants to be invaded. Say, keep what you believe to yourself. My opinion is not your opinion. My truth is not your truth. If you don't allow truth to invade your life, it cannot help you. You know why truth has to invade? Because truth never changes. From eternity to eternity, truth is exactly the same. If it's changing with time, it's not truth. Amen? Anything God says is what? Truth. And when you allow truth to invade your life, you will grow. Say to yourself, say, when I allow truth to invade my life, I will grow. See, when truth is invading, it may not always sound sweet. But it, when it invades, it will cut off all those things that are making you not firm and secure. Amen? The finished product will be firm and what? Secure. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? 2 Timothy 3:16. Let's look at it. 2 Timothy 3:16. So you can see that truth, I will not call truth revelation, I'll call it knowledge. Truth is a balanced knowledge of God's word. Okay? Something else is coming that is revelation. But to know, to have a balanced knowledge from Genesis to Revelation. So people just want to stay only in Romans. They don't want to read any other part of the Bible. That's not truth. Truth is from Genesis to what? Revelation. Because that way, if you do it from Genesis, you have a balanced view. But if you stay only in Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus, you will not have a balanced view. If you stay only in 1 John and all your reasons about love, 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 you will just change your message. It's all about love. Doesn't matter what we do. Once it's love, it's okay. That's not truth. It's not sound. For it to be sound, love is okay. Love is good, but it's not just all about love. It's also about faith. It's also about hope. Amen? It's also about righteousness. Hallelujah. It's also about salvation. Amen? It's also about what? Deliverance, breakthrough, miracles. It's not just only about love. Amen? Truth is sound, balanced, complete view of God's word. It keeps you firm and secure as you walk this journey. You will not be shaken easily by everything that comes up. Amen? Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 3:16, I'll read it. It said, all scripture is given, how many? All. From what? From Genesis to where? Revelation. It's given by the inspiration of God. And it is what? Useful. All scripture is what? Useful. But when you start reading, you find out all the other things you see are the things you don't want to hear today. Look at the Bible. It's profitable for all those other things that we listen to. Many people don't want to hear them. What are the things? Reproof. You know, reproof. Correction. I don't. They don't want to be reproved. They don't want to be corrected. They don't want to be instructed. But that's what the scripture is useful for. If you want to be established in what? Truth. Say, I love truth. Amen. Time is gone. So next week, I'm going to... Let me just give you a peep in the next week. Because I will finish, I must finish this. A peep, then we pray. So the next item on the agenda is your feet, your shoes or your feet shod. What does your shoe do for you? As a shoulder, why do you shoes on? Yes, we know that. Say that again.
To protect your feet.
From what? From thorns and thistles. Yes. Yes, I love that. Any other one? That's good. Any other one? Why do you need a protection of your feet when you're in battle?
So when you run, you're not hot.
So when you run, you will not easily trip up. Yes? Any other one? Yes? Yes?
Well, I was going to say, obviously it's to protect, but comfort, isn't it?
Well, comfort! Like the battle is done, comfort. Sometimes, you know, I have one shoe, one trainer at home, but it's nice. The trainer is cool. But when I put it on, I don't feel comfortable. So, you know what? I don't, it's there. Still looking clean. Because I don't feel comfort. I want to feel comfortable.
it's to keep your movement secure and steady.
Keep your movement secure and steady. I just give a peep there and next week I'll repeat it. You see, your Christian life doesn't have to be uncomfortable. Yes, you're in spiritual battle, but it doesn't have to be what? Torture and frustration. I know that what you are trusting God for has not yet come to pass. But when you are there, it doesn't have to be torture. The fact that, you know, the devil is after you does not mean you have to be in torture. But you will be if your feet, your shoes are not okay or they are not on. Amen? Imagine the devil is chasing somebody. By the way, the devil should not be chasing you. You should be chasing the devil. Not in your power, but in the power of God. So imagine somebody who is trying to resist the devil, yeah? Imagine wrestling. So they are fighting, wrestling. He lifts up his foot, yeah? And next thing, he lands on the thorn. You're not going to enjoy that battle, is it? No matter how many weapon he has, that thorn is a thorn in the flesh. Are you with me? You need shoes. Hallelujah. So this is the final part. What is your spiritual shoe? Look at your Bible. I know you've read it many times. I'm asking you now. You've read it many times. The answer is hidden in plain text. Or hidden in plain sight. A little bit of meditation will help you. What are your spiritual shoes? Now the clue is, remember with helmet, we've said salvation, but that was not the key. It was the hope of salvation. What is your spiritual shoes? Yes, Pam?
Sound mind and peace. Sound mind and peace.
Not really. Something gives you that. Not really. Yes, your spiritual shoes. Gospel of peace. They are everybody saying peace. Yes, I cannot say it's a bad answer. But it's not. You didn't hit it. Yeah? It's part of the package. But it's not the key thing. Like we said, element of salvation. Salvation is part of it. But the key thing in that element is the hope of salvation. The what? Preparation. The preparation. Yes, that's another word for it in another Bible.
I'm going to deviate from
that. Yeah, deviate.
At least to discern.
Discern, okay. What answer? Then I move on. Let's finish on that point there. Yes?
Is it the discernment?
Discern. Is that you have agreement? Both of you said discernment. Okay. Please, let's read it. Please, wait. Just wait. Ephesians, what? 6. Read for me verse. Where? Where are you looking at? Verse 17. No. Verse. What am I missing? 15. Yes, we'd like you to read it. It's the Psalm 1. You've not read today. Read. Ephesians 6:15. Okay, we will run up on this note, so we're already almost there. I just want to give you that extra. Yes?
For shoes, put on the peace that comes from
peace. So I agree with peace. Those who say peace.
Be fully prepared.
That comes from what?
That comes
from what?
The good news.
Yes.
So
no, read it again. I heard something you missed.
From
something.
The good, fully prepared.
That you can be what?
Fully prepared.
Another version talks about the readiness. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, your feet protection is your readiness to do the will of God. You see, if you have an attitude of you are not willing, yeah, you want to come, you come to church. You do the main, but you're just not willing to take it further. You don't have shoes on. And you're in dangerous situation. You know, let me tell you, like, the father called two sons and said, you know, they should go. One said, I will go. One said, I will not. One was willing, one was not willing. Anytime you're not willing to do the will of God, you don't have shoes on. Your life is not going to go on the right path. The will of God puts your life in the right direction. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to what? Your understanding. In all your ways, what will it do to your legs? It will direct your path. Amen. See, when you're not ready to do God's will, or you're not ready to identify with Christ, you're in a dangerous situation. You don't have shoes on. The readiness, the preparation, yeah, to do the will of God. The readiness, the preparation to identify with Christ. The readiness, the preparation to proclaim the word of God against your circumstances. Yeah? Protects your feet from being tripped up. Amen? So let me give you my notes and then we finish there. So my notes just say, you know, your readiness to confess Christ before the world, your readiness, preparedness to do God's will and obey God's word. That's your shoe. It protects you from harm. And it will guide your path and preserve you from evil. Your attitude towards the things of God matters a lot. Don't ever come and tell me you love God if you have a bad attitude towards the things of God. That attitude has proven that your love for God is poor. Amen? And it means that when you don't have time for God, the devil will engage you. He must. Because the devil goes what? To and fro,
looking for who? Whom to devour. And who is the easiest person to devour? The person that is not in God's will. Amen? Let's stop there. We'll revisit it next time. Let's rise up and talk to God.